according to the scripture, it's not there. And I think Brother Ronnie's talking about that
this morning in our Sunday school. You know, there's a lot of folks, I think, that in some other religious circles, we'll say, that are counting on that. And, oh boy, somebody will pray me out and pray me through. You better do the praying here or it won't get done. Amen? All right, well, we're glad you're here tonight. And I want you to take your Bibles, look with me, if you will, in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look in chapter number 4, and I know this is something that's real familiar to all of us, but just something to remind us a little bit. You know, we see all the things that are going on in our world and all the happenings of our days, and you know, we're looking and saying, wow, what does all this mean? Well, I can tell you what all of it means. It means that Jesus is still coming. Amen? He hasn't gotten here yet. Somebody says, well, you know, is this it? I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know for sure. But I can tell you this. There's nothing else that's got to happen in this world for him to return. Nothing else. And, you know, and if you're not ready, it'd be a good time to get that way. Amen? And if you're not certain of that, why, I'm glad my Bible tells me that you can come to a place where there is certainty. Amen? Over in the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, verse number 13, he talks about writing these things so that you can know. Amen? You know that you're saved by the good grace of God. Well, look here in chapter number 4, though, if you will, 1 Thessalonians. And, you know, Paul is talking about to this church and about how that they should behave and live, I guess, a better way of saying. In verse number 1, he says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So he's given them, you know, the instruction on how their lives should be and what it should be full of. And then in verse number 13, he comes to this little, almost seems like a digression or a side street, if you will, and in the discussion, he says, but, he said, now, you know, having said all of this about how y'all live, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us here today. All the things that you've blessed us with and provided to us. And, oh, Lord, all the blessings of heaven that we just enjoy every day and that you bestow so richly upon us. We thank you for those. I pray now, just bless your word. Encourage us by it and let us see more and know more about you. And we'll just give you praise and thanks and honor and glory for everything that is said here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. We pray that you'd save the lost. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, let me just, as you're thinking about, you know, Paul and what he's saying in writing to this church, as you know, he's in the latter part of some things. And you know, 1 Thessalonians, he's commending this church for the faith and the love and the hope that they have in their lives. You go back, read chapter number 1, you see a whole lot about that. And then, as I say, a lot of this, he is giving them instruction on how to be the kind of Christian and the kind of witness to this world. And, you know, they are already. I mean, there's much of this in them. He's just kind of fine-tuning some of these things. But as you get here to chapter number 4 and verse number 13, those folks seem to have had an issue with something that they just didn't know, okay? They just didn't know. You ever been to a place where you just didn't know something? You ever had somebody tell you something? You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, that's why a lot of times you get those pieces of information or that instruction or you know, whatever it is, because you didn't know. And you see what Paul says as he starts out, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Some of those Christian folks there in that area in Thessalonica had died, and their friends had feared that they might lose out on being with the Lord. They just didn't know. They weren't sure. They were like, well, what happens when somebody dies and the Lord hadn't come back and we don't know? You know, and it is. I mean, Brother Ronnie's teaching about some of this morning in our Sunday school class about how that Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says to those folks at Corinth, he said, I show you a mystery. Well, a mystery is something that you don't know. It's mysterious. It's different. It's an unknown. And, you know, we all like to delve into the mysterious and the mysteries of life. Well, here Paul is talking to this church, and he said, I want to tell you something. And he does not use the word mystery, but he said, this may be somewhat of a mystery to some of you. So let's look at this tonight. And just if you want to title this, Paul says, let me leave some words with you. Let me leave some words with you. And Paul is talking to these folks and giving them, as I say, all of this information, all of this stuff sent by the Lord's Spirit, and he's giving them instruction, he's giving them encouragement, he's giving them all these kind of things. And then, as I say, he runs into this little place in the road where it's something that he knows, the Holy Ghost tells him, they need to know this, and you need to tell them about it. So he begins to talk to them, and if you look again, look at the very last phrase where Paul says this. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's why I say, Paul, we might want to just call this, let me leave some words with you. Let me just leave you with some of these things that, these words and these things that you need to hear. Let me just leave these words with you. So that's what he's getting ready to do. So look at it, first of all, if you will, and let's look at it like this. First of all, for some of them, they've already heard some conflicting words. There's some conflicting words that have come to them. You ever get some things that are conflicting? I mean, you ever be in a situation where you've heard one thing and then you hear something else and you're in a place where you're like, I don't know who and I don't know what to believe. And, you know, that's a difficult position to be in when you don't know and you're not sure those that are telling you something, if they know. You're like, well, I'm not sure about this whole thing. And there is a conflict that goes on. That's the idea that we get from these statements that Paul is making here. These folks had received some conflicting words. You know how it is sometimes? Somebody will come along and they'll say, well, guess what I heard? And they'll tell you blah, 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 blah. And then pretty soon, maybe you repeat that or you tell somebody and they say, well, that's not why I heard that it was, you know, and maybe something very opposite of that. And you're like, wow, now I'm in a mess. I don't know who to believe. There's a conflicting part. That's what's going on, as I say, here with this church. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those that are asleep. Those that have died since you've been saved and since they've been saved. He said, I want to get rid of the conflict if we can. There are some conflicting words. And let me tell you something about conflicting words. Listen to what Paul says. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So I want you to see this and realize, as I say about some conflicting words, first of all, conflicting words sometimes will make you sorrowful. They'll make you sorrowful. You see what Paul says here? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Sometimes when you hear some things, and it's not the right thing, it can break your heart. It can cause you some confusion. It can cause you to be like the disciples were when they saw Jesus as he was buried in that grave and the stone sealed that tomb up. I mean, buddy, they were convinced he was dead and that was it. But then on the third day, some certain women of their company went down to the graveyard and they were going to anoint the body of Jesus again with some spices that they had mixed up, and they thought that maybe things were done so hurriedly on the day of his death that they needed to make a reapplication to help the body and the process of decay. They wanted to go, and when they got there, what did they see? They saw two angels that were there about the door, and the stone was rolled away. And buddy, can I tell you, there was some conflicting stuff that began to hit them. They said, "Where is he?" And oh boy, they heard those words from the angel that said, I want to tell you, we know you seek a Jesus who died. He said, "But he's not here. He has risen just like he said." Amen. And then there was the conflict. I mean, they like, "Well, we don't know what to believe. We saw him. We saw it with our own eyes. We saw him die on the cross. We saw him take him down. We saw all that. We know Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus brought him out here and they buried him. We know all that." Can I tell you, buddy, sometimes a conflict will come and it'll boggle your mind. And as I say, that's what's happened to these people. Somebody told them, said, "Now, if your loved ones died and Jesus hadn't come back, We think you're in trouble. We don't know where they went. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you're in a mess. And that's a conflict. And you know what that did? That broke their hearts. It made them sorrowful. But Paul said, "Look, I don't want you to be sorrowful like folks that don't have any hope. Thank God, aren't you glad we got a hope? Where is our hope? My hope is in the Lord." Amen. So he says, well, first of all, when you hear conflicting words, those conflicting words can make you sorrowful. Those conflicting words, again, sometimes can make you skeptical. "I just don't know about that. I'm just not sure." Well, as a matter of fact, don't we know a fella in our Bible that did that very thing by the name of Thomas? The disciples met, Jesus came. Thomas wasn't there for that meeting. Somebody said it's like Thomas missed Wednesday night prayer service and Jesus showed up. Amen? And when they got together again, they told him and said, "Thomas, the Lord appeared to us and he's risen from the dead." Oh, Thomas said, "Well, I don't believe that." Amen? He was a little bit of a skeptic, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. "Well, I just don't know about that." Don't you just love people like that? I mean, you know, you come to church and say, "Man, we had a knockdown." "Well, what happened?" "I don't know if that's so much of that. I don't know if God really showed up or not. I think maybe y'all just think it." No, You know, it's one of them things. You ought to have been here. Amen. You get in the middle. And when you get in the middle of it, you know a whole lot better than you did to stand off on the side and hear somebody. Hey, it is, as they say, it's better felt than dealt anytime. Amen? I'm just telling you, hey, you need to be here. And that's what they told Tom. "You ought to have been here." "Well, I don't know so much about that." Well, guess what happened? Jesus just showed up again. Thomas and Tom said, "Yep. I won't believe it till I see him for myself. See those nail pierces in his hand and that side of his opened up with a sword. I just won't believe it till I see it." And when Jesus got there, what did he do? He said, "Hey, Thomas, check this out." And Thomas saw the nail prints in his hand and he stuck his hand in his side where the spear had gone in and busted the heart sack and the water flow. And he said, what did he do? He fell down and he said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. He got convinced, didn't he? Amen. I'm telling you, any of us can be skeptical about many things. But, you know, when you hear some conflicting things, it'll make you sorrowful. It'll make you skeptical. But can I tell you this? When you hear some conflicting words, usually something in those statements are not scriptural. They're not scriptural. But listen to what Paul says here. He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even those which have no hope." Listen to what he said. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, where did he get that? He got that from the Scriptures. Amen? The Bible tells us that God was going to raise his darling son. He's going to bring him back out of the dead. Hey, it was that story that was Abraham and Isaac on the mountain, and it was almost to the point where Isaac died, and Isaac said, well, you know, where's the lamb? And God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And there was that ram, and God said, don't kill him. Get that ram. Sacrifice him, because that's a picture story of how I'm going to offer my son, and he's going to raise from the dead. Like your son almost died and would have been risen from the dead. Amen? What I'm telling you is this. You better understand, even in conflicting words, the best thing you can do is trust the Scripture. And Paul says here, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you know what? I believe that. Don't you? I mean, hey, I ain't got no better sense than to believe it. Amen? Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And they got a bunch of skeptics and doubters and not surers and everything else. And in chapter 15, verse number 1, Paul said this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by the which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Listen to what he said. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. He said, this is all scriptural truth. It's all bound up in the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you hear something, the best way you can weigh something out to see where the conflict is and where the conflict ends is by measuring it against the Word of God. Measure it against the Word of God. So first of all, you see there are here given, Paul talks about some conflicting words. Let me just show you something else in the second place, if you will, as we look down a little bit further in these verses. And I want you to see some confidence-building words, some words of confidence. There's some words that cause conflict, but thank God there's some words that build some confidence. Listen to what he says in verse number 15. Paul says this, he said, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Hey, they'd heard some conflicting reports. They'd heard some conflicting words. But now Paul says, let me give you some words that will be confidence builders. Boy, aren't you glad when you hear something that is scriptural truth and it builds your confidence in the Lord? I mean, that's what you gotta have. If you wanna get built up, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God. Paul says to them, look, I got it that there's some issues and some questions and maybe even some doubt. He said, but this we say unto you by the Word of the Lord. First of all, I want to tell you this confidence building word is the fact that he is coming according to God's own words. Amen? This is God's word. It's not Paul's word. It's not the Baptist word. It's not the Presbyterian. It's not the Methodist. It's not the Pentecostal. Hey, you know, everybody's got their own little doctrinal statements and doctrinal words, right? And you can go different places, and you'll hear this, and you'll hear that, and you'll hear that. And again, a lot of that is conflicting and causes confusion, right? There's a lot of that happens. I mean, you can listen to some different denominations. And as I said, there's some folks that'll tell you, say, well, when you die, you might be in purgatory. And somebody's got to pray you out and pay you out. Guess what? That's a lie right out of hell. Amen? Amen? But you know what? There are some other people. There are people that are called universalists or universalitarians. They believe this, that everybody in the end is all going to be saved. God's going to forgive all sin. And he might send them to hell for a little while and burn out some stuff in their life. But they're going, well, that's a bunch of hogwash too. Say amen right there. Amen. I mean, and there are people that will tell you thing after thing after thing that they believe that. Can I tell you? The only way we know is exactly as Paul said. You see what he said here? He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I'm just telling you, if you want to build your confidence, Jesus is coming. And we know that he's coming because God's word tells us so. Amen? Oh, Jesus said it himself while he was here. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. He said, but if I go away, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? He's coming again. And you can take God's word on that. As a matter of fact, hey, you remember in the very first chapter of Acts, as the people are standing there and Jesus is taken up from them into heaven. He's given them his last words of encouragement, his last words of direction, direction and dictate for them to stay at Jerusalem till they be endued with power. And then they were to go from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part. All those things that he's told them. And then the Bible said that a cloud came down from heaven. Brother James Langston says it like this. He said, Jesus stepped on the cloud and he looked over and he said, heaven, please. And that cloud began to rise up and go out of sight. And it said, as that cloud ascended and Christ Jesus himself, that there was two men that were clothed in white apparel appeared unto them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away shall so return in like manner. Woo! If that don't do it for you, you're in trouble. Amen? I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus said it himself. God sent his angels to say it for himself. And God's word records it for us numerous times that Jesus is gone, but he's coming back again one day. And as I said, Paul has said, let me build your confidence in this. If you're lacking some confidence in the fact that the Lord's coming back, I know this world's in a mess, and I know things are happening, and I know it looks bleak and ugly and bad, but let me just build your confidence. Jesus is coming again because God's word says he still is. Amen? You know what it says over in the book of Peter? I think it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter talks about this. He says that the scoffers still say, where is the sign of his appearing? We've heard it all of our lives, and it ain't happened yet. Well, I'm telling you, honey, tie a knot in the end of your rope and hang on, because it's going to happen, amen? It's going to happen, amen? Listen, hey, you can have your confidence built because we know he's coming because of God's own word himself. Second of all, I want you to realize this. Jesus is coming. And he is coming himself. Amen? Listen to what Paul says here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen? Hey, let me tell y'all something. About 3 years ago, me and this little girl over here got married. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't send somebody down there and say, no, you go down there and get all the paperwork done, and you and Lynn stand there and talk to the preacher down there, and you get all the work, and y'all come back, and then we'll be married. No, sir. You know what? I went, and I picked her up myself. I put her in my car. We drove down there. We got to that chapel. We walked in there. We went in, because I was taking her myself. Amen. She was my bride, and I said, I'm taking her. We're getting married. And, brother, I ain't sending nobody in my place. Can I tell you, Jesus ain't sending angels. Jesus is not sending prophets. Jesus is not sending people. Thank God he's coming himself and he's going to get us. Amen. That's what Paul said. That ought to build your confidence. Jesus himself is coming. As I said earlier, Jesus told his disciples there in John 14. He said, I'm going away, but if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm coming for you. Why, man, I'm telling you, ain't nobody that you sin and do this and do that. You better do it yourself. Amen. I like somebody that does it themselves, don't you? I mean, people try to tell me how to do things. And you know what? Hey, just forget that. Come on, do it yourself. You know what you're doing. I went to the eye doctor one time and I was going to wear contacts. Somebody say amen right there, because somebody probably did. I went to the eye doctor. I'm in there, and I said, Doc, you know, the only problem I got, I'm just a little squeamish about putting stuff in my eyes. He said, that ain't no problem. So he left me in a room with a bottle this big of eye solution. He said, now put them contact lens in. Well, I don't know, about 20 or 30 minutes went by. He come back in the room and said, how you doing? I said, take a look. My eyeballs was as red as bloodshot. Looked like I'd stuck my finger in there. I'd done everything I could, and I'd blink, and they'd fly. And he said, what's the problem? I said, well, you tell me. I don't know. It ain't working. He said, watch this. He come over. He dropped some of that liquid on his the contact lens. Had it on the end of his finger, and he said, bloop. He put it in there, and then he pulled it out. I said, leave it. He pulled it out, handed it, and said, now you do it. Well, about another 30 minutes. And I'm telling you, I mean, I looked like I'd been to fight and lost with my eyeballs. You know, it was just, it's terrible. I just couldn't do it. But man, for him, it was no problem. And I'm thinking, well, what's the deal? He did just, you know, and eventually, you know, it took me a while, but I guess I finally got the hang of it, right? But I'm just telling you, I like it when somebody knows what they're doing. Just go ahead and do it. Thank God, I'm telling you, Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus knows who he's coming for. Jesus knows what it's all about. And Jesus is coming himself. He's coming himself. He's coming because the Word of God says he is. He's coming himself. And let me tell you this. The Bible said he's coming for us. Amen. For the Lord. Look in 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look what it says. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo, ain't that good? That should build your confidence. Those words should be building your confidence in the fact that Jesus is coming again. I mean, he said, look, he's coming. And he said, look, the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? He said, those of us which are, we're not going to prevent them. That word prevent in the old English means to precede or go before them. And somebody said, well, why is that? Brother Ronnie's talking about this morning. Somebody said, well, you know, we got a 6-foot head start on a bunch of them in the ground, right? I mean, they need a little time to catch. And then phew, we're all gone. How fast all that happens, who knows? And how that happens, who knows? But I'm just telling you, we know it's going to happen. And it's going to be Jesus himself. And it's going to be because God said it was going to happen that way. And he said, we're all going together. He's coming for those that are his. I mean, isn't that amazing? You know, and I've heard a lot of folks say this, wouldn't you like to be in a cemetery when the Lord comes? And all of a sudden, boom, that grave bursts open. And that saint comes out of that ground, and phew, we're all gone. Now, I don't think you're going to have enough time to even think about all that or even realize, but, buddy, it's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. And he's coming for us. Jesus is coming for those that are saved. I mean, those that have trusted, those that have believed, those that have put their faith and their confidence in him and his word and the things that he said that he did for us, thank God he's coming for us. Amen? And aren't you glad that you're included in that number? You ought to be one of them that Jesus is coming for. So there's words that are conflicting. There's words that are confidence building. But then look at this very last thought and realize there are some words here in verse number 18 that he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There are some words that bring comfort. You ever needed a word of comfort sometime? Your little baby's crying. What do? You pick them up and you shush them. You pat them. You talk to them gently and they get calmed down. There's some comforting words that go on. You have a little one that has a fall or that has a, something happened to them, and they come in and they're crying, and you take them and you kiss those tears and those fears away, and there you wrap them up and love them, and they're comforted. They're comforted. Well, the Bible says that these words, Paul says, these words that he has written, these words should comfort us. These are comforting words. Well, how are they to do that as far as being comforting words? Well, let me just say this. First of all, these are exclusive words. These are exclusive words. I mean, let me tell you something. Nobody else's religion has this kind of preaching that their Savior is coming back to get them. I mean, they just don't have it. You look at the Muslims. You know about the Muslims? They hope that when they die, that Allah is in a good mood and they may get into heaven. They have no confidence. They have no assurance. They have no guarantee that they're going to make it. We just won't know till we get there and see what kind of day Allah is having. Aren't you glad you can say, I know my God has saved me and he's coming to get me and I'm going home with him one day. Amen. I mean, these are an exclusive type of words. There's nobody else. I mean, you can go talk to the Buddhists and you can go talk to the people that believe in reincarnation and all that. They don't have any comfort. You got to come back as something else. Boy, amen. Isn't that terrible? You got to come back as a chicken next time. Bark, 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 bark. I'm telling you, that's about crazy. I mean, well, you come back as a cow. Son, we done eat him. Amen. He's gone. I'm just telling you, they believe that junk. And there's no comfort. There's no assurance. There's no hope. There's no help. There's nothing in any of that kind of stuff. But I'm glad for these exclusive words of comfort for me and you that came from the lips of our Savior, from the book of our God, and from the fellow that stands here before you and is writing that down for me and you, the great Apostle Paul, writes all these things. Thank God, aren't you glad, hey, that you got comforted because of those words? Amen? That's the same Paul that said, if we had hope in this life only of Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. If it was just all here and that's it and it ended, we'd be in a mess. I mean, really. Now, you'd lose all of your hope. You'd lose all of your assurances. But I'm here to tell you that thank God you can be sure that Jesus is coming. And he's coming back for you. Amen. Those are exclusive words to comfort us. Not only are they the exclusive words to comfort us, they are some encouraging words that comfort us. Hey, this life is not all there is. This life is not the end of it. I mean, the Lord himself, as I say, is waiting. Your loved ones are there. Those dear saints gone on before you that you and I don't even know, they are all there waiting for me and for you one glad day. Amen? I mean, these are some words that ought to, it's an exhortation. It's something that says, man, hang in there because there's something better ahead. I mean, to the one that's got sickness, hang in there because there's something better ahead. To those that have disabilities, hang in there because there's something better ahead. Amen. I know I've told you all this story probably several times, but when we were in Atlanta, we had a fellow that came to our church and was preaching, and he said he'd been down in Atlanta at that time. I guess it's probably still there. There is a hospital that they have, or a clinic type thing, exclusively for children with disabilities, maybe minor all the way to major disability. You can go in there, and there's kids in, you know, wheelchairs and kids that can't do and can't go. I mean, they're just anything you can think of. They're there. Brain injuries, a physical problem, just anything. And they're all in there. And he said he would go down there, and he'd preach to those kids. And he'd tell them about Jesus. And he'd try to go. Well, he said that he told them that Jesus was coming back one day. And that one day, they'd be like all the other little boys and girls. They could walk. They could talk. They could sing. They could do all of those things that the other little kids could do that they envied and that they saw and that they just couldn't understand. One day, they'd be like that. And he said one day he went back down there after he'd been there and preaching to him, went back, and he said he walked in the front doors, and it was all of a glass case as you kind of go in, just an ante room with glass cases as you, glass windows as you go in. He said, I looked at him and I thought, man, them people need to clean them windows up. They look dirty. They look like they're smudged. And, you know, he said, walked in, began to talk with a person as one of the directors, and he said, y'all got a cleaning crew? And he said, yeah, yeah. He said, well, I noticed when I came in, those windows was awful, awful grubby looking. And he said, preacher, ever since you came and told them little boys and girls, one of these days, they're going to be like everybody else. We can't keep them away from looking out of them windows. Their little hands, they'd put them on there, their little faces pressed up against it, looking to see for Jesus to come that day. They were looking for him because they wanted to hear and be like them other little kids. And he said, boy, we just can't keep them out of there. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, Jesus is coming, friend. And it ought to encourage me and you. Amen. Sister Sharon, you can throw that stick away one of these days, and the Lord's going to let you see some things you've never seen. You'll see how pretty I am. Amen. Hey, that'll be great, won't it? Hey, some of you that's got canes and walkers and all that, son, you can throw them away. Wouldn't it be great at the doorway of heaven? There's a depository for glasses and dentures and canes and everything. Woo, hallelujah, because we won't need them anymore. Amen. I'm telling you, he said, comfort one another with these words. They're those exclusive words. There's those encouraging words. And then let me just say this last of all. They are those expectant words. I'm expecting this to happen, aren't you? Paul says, y'all be ready. I've told you. You see that wherefore in there that he threw in there? Wherefore? Because we know that it's coming to pass. Comfort one another with these words. On those days when you think, oh, how long, dear Lord, till you come? Just expect him. Hey, on them days when they're long and dreary and sad and lone, expect him. On those days when things don't seem to be going right, expect him. Brother, can I tell you, as the songwriter said, I'm looking for Jesus to come someday. Amen. Aren't you? And I'll ever keep singing along the way. Thank God, I'm glad that he's coming. And because he's coming, I'm going. Amen. I'm going. Are you going tonight? You sure that you're going? You sure everything's well between you and the Lord? Brother Ronnie, come on. We'll sing a verse of some song.